Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 326 shows and counting. And I want to welcome everyone, the new listeners that's listening tonight. I hope you enjoy the show. Keep coming back. Keep spreading the word, because the more voices and action takers for the animals, the better, and the faster we see those victories coming in, the positive victories. Just want to go over a couple things before we get started here. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals, coming live on every Thursday, so don't miss out. And hold on one second here. Okay, I'm back. I had to check some audio, so. But anyway, all you returning listeners, thank you so much for coming back and being a part of Voices Care for Animals, because that is the main thing we got to do here, stand up and speak out for the animals in need. They need us in one way or another, everyone, so we got to do our part out there and take that action, contact our legislators. You know, be professional, polite, and I'll give you that number, area code 202-224-3121. And then during business hours, during the week, ask for your zip code, and then ask them to speak to your state rep or senator. You know, you can even email them, call them, you know, make appointments with them. Whatever it takes, write letters. I mean, it does get much easier than making changes from the comfort of your home, your computer, your phone, your fax. I mean, the copier, everything is right there, and being a positive impact with animals, because the animals are voiceless, helpless, innocent, and defenseless. So we got to do our part, because there's so many of them out there that's in distress. And they're, you know, there's abuse going on, neglect. I mean, their rights are, you know, being ignored, not granted. And animals deserve all their rights granted. That's, you know, we want our human rights and to live comfortably in peace. But I'll go over a couple more things, and then we're going to get started on another great show this evening. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. A big shout out to Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. That's where the show started from, back in June of 2014 at the end. TS Radio Network Voices Caring for Animals. I was her host of the first show to the 163rd show, and then this 164th show to the present. I'm on my own, and she helped me out to go on my own. And she's a great team player, a great friend, and you ought to visit her shows during the week also. She has some hot topics on the PPJ Gazette online and also TS Radio Network. And how you can find them is go to the PPJ Gazette, www.ppjg.me. And then on the right-hand corner, there's a follow link, and you can press, and every time there's a my podcast or hers, it will alert you in her the primary email. So we're going to go ahead and get started and bring my guest on, Scott Beckstead. He's the director of campaigns at Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy. Hello, Scott. Welcome back.
Hello, Debbie. So good to be back here. You know, it's been, what's it been, about 3 years since I was on your show?
Yes, 2018. Definitely.
Yeah, we got to do this more regularly than that, I'm afraid.
Yes, for sure. I agree. Because you are a great speaker for the animals. But we're going to get
well,
started.
Well, thank you.
Here.
I appreciate that.
You're awesome. You're a great warrior for them. And, you know, an animal warrior brother. But go ahead and we'll get started here. Scott is the director of campaigns at the Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy. And the Animal Wellness Action, I've had several guests from there, Scott. Wayne Pacelli, the president, he's been on here. He's going to be coming back on. Marty Irby, he's executive director. He's been on. Jennifer Skiff. I mean, this list is big. And also Holly Gann Weiss, who, you know, was a former on, you know, Animal Wellness Action. She was several times. And also Joshua Marquise. I mean, it was just so wonderful. And you all are always welcome back on my show. And continue, you know, this means so much, so meaningful.
Yeah. It's a great team that we've got. I consider myself so fortunate to be a part of this team and to be working for these organizations. It feels like I am doing the work that I was built to do better than I ever have. So I'm very grateful to be where I'm at.
Oh yeah, I mean, look what all you're doing. I mean, it's just a big shout out to all of you. I mean, you're just all this heartfelt work. You're shining stars for the animals, and that means so much. I mean, just doing what you're doing, taking the time. And then a big shout out to all the volunteers out there, the staff, all the animal organizations, you know, all the animal advocates, the cross posters for the animals, the animal activists, animal lovers. I mean, this is all a huge team here. We all are all in this together. And the more of us, Scott, that come together, the stronger we become. And you taking that action is the key to unlock the door for all changes to be made. You know, so big shout out to all of you. I mean, and look with this show. I love doing this radio platform, Scott. It's so awesome. You know, speaking out for the animals in need, and a big shout out to all the ones that's helped me to promote it out there on all Twitter. Hey, followers and friends, thank you so much. I mean, it gets spread out. I mean, it goes viral, and this is the big plus. Facebook, the ones that's involved, the Facebook friends and followers. Yeah, LinkedIn, that's one of the friends with. Pinterest, I mean, the PPJ Gazette, and there's huge animal pages also that's involved, Scott, that helps us out. And so we cannot give up. We got to keep going, right? We give up, we lose, and we don't want that. But, all of us together, the stronger we become, strength in numbers. Ray Bittner. Yeah, but go ahead. And
Absolutely.
It's encouraging, you know, it's inspiring when we inspire to each other and say, hey, you know, we got to do this together. There's work to do. We got to work together and be a positive impact in this animal's world, because they cannot speak out for themselves. You know, they are defenseless and helpless, voiceless and innocent. I mean, look at them. And so, you know, and it takes all of us advocates out there, you know, activists and I mean, leaders, strong leaders and supporters, you know, equals out to strong victories. So when we encourage each other and inspire, hey, we can't give up. We got to keep going here. And then that's the amazing part. But I'm going to let you get started. And can you tell us how this, you got started here, Scott, with Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy? That was two great organizations, and I believe there's Animal Wellness Foundation too, right? Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, so the Animal Wellness Action is organized as a 501c4, so it can do more of the political work, and Center for a Humane Economy is a 501c3, it can do, you know, more of the charitable stuff. Both organizations are organized under the banner of the Animal Wellness Foundation. So, you know, the Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy are two sister organizations, and I serve as the director of campaigns for both. Now, like my colleagues Wayne Pacelli and Marty Irby, I came here after many years working for the Humane Society of the United States. In October of last year, HSUS and I parted ways, and I went to work for AWA and the center, and have been working very hard on many of the same issues, except that for these organizations, I'm able to be much louder and more active on the issues that I'm most passionate about, especially the management of our wild horses and burros. It's an issue that I have literally studied and followed my entire life. I was raised with horses. I have been around horses since I was born, and I just have such a special affinity with them, and I believe a real special understanding of them and sort of what makes them tick. And I have always been outspoken on the issue of equine welfare, whether that's for the wild horses or whether it's for domestic horses. And of course, when I worked for the Humane Society, I got to work on the campaign to stop the slaughter of American horses for human consumption. But here with these new organizations, I'm able to expand greatly and work for a whole host of equine welfare issues. And of course, like I said, the wild horses and the burros are a special passion of mine. I also really enjoy talking about the issue of, you know, what happens on our public lands, because, you know, our wild horses and burros are federally protected, and they have a right under federal law to exist on our public lands that are owned and managed by the federal government through the Bureau of Land Management. So I'm very interested in this issue, and I got to tell you that I came in, I think, right at the exact right moment, because our wild horses and burros are in crisis, because the very agency that was charged by Congress to manage these animals humanely and protect them is actually conducting a war on them. And the Bureau of Land Management, of course, is who I'm talking about. This agency is engaged in an unprecedented number of wild horse and burro roundups. You know, they use these helicopters, and it's a very, very cruel way to capture these animals. They are chased long distances by helicopter. Of course, it's very traumatic. You know, and the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, is using the pretext of the drought to justify removing probably upwards of nearly 20,000 wild horses and burros from their rangeland homes in 2021 alone. And it's an absolute catastrophe. The agency just today concluded a roundup of the Sandwash Basin horses in northwest Colorado. This is one of our nation's most iconic and beloved herds. You know, the bad news is that animals lost their lives. You know, the BLM was, you know, was very dishonest with the American people, saying that these animals had to be removed to prevent them from dying of thirst. But then, of course, monsoon rains arrived and the water holes all filled up and the grass started growing and the horses were in great shape. So then the BLM changed its story and said that they had to be rounded up to protect the sage grouse. So, you know, the agency just wanted the horses gone. And why do they want the horses gone? Well, because that means that there's more grass for all those cattle and sheep. And the Sandwash Basin herd management area is an area where there are livestock being grazed, cattle and sheep, but it's also an area that is used by the oil and fracking industries. And those industries, livestock, oil, fracking, they really have the upper hand. They're the ones with the BLM's ear. And the American people who love these wild horses and burros and want to see them protected are not being listened to. So I feel like I came into this issue at just the right moment. I'm able to use my voice and my platform message out there and educate people. You know, a lot of people just assume that these wild horses and burros are living wild and free and you know, not being bothered out on the rangelands. And it's my job to make sure that people are aware that actually they are being persecuted and subjected to cruelty at the hands of our federal government. And it's our tax dollars that is paying for it. And it's happening on our public lands that our tax dollars are, you know, that we pay to have managed. So it's a very unfortunate situation, but I'm out there all day, every day working on this issue, making sure people are getting accurate information about these roundups that are happening. And of course, urging them to reach out to their members of Congress. And that number that you gave, Debbie, I'm just going to repeat it myself. That's 202-224-3121. Reach out to your United States representative and both of your United States senators. Tell them to stop the helicopter roundups and manage these animals humanely on the range. And the first thing we need to do, frankly, before we have any conversation about fertility control or anything else, is we have got to turn over these wild horse, federally designated wild horse herd management areas over to the wild horses. Because, Debbie, right now, 80% of the forage, the grass that grows on wild horse habitat is allocated for cattle and sheep. And that is just wrong. That is not what the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act of 1971 envisioned. What federal law, what Congress and what President Nixon, who signed it into law, what they all envisioned was the wild horses and burros would live undisturbed on these federally designated areas. And that would be the primary use. And instead, what has happened is the BLM has put the horses at the very bottom of the list of priorities on wild horse habitat. And I know it sounds almost nonsensical, but it is. And that's the reality, is that our federal government is catering to the whims of these industries, especially the livestock industry. And it's not about a drought. It's not about, you know, helping the horses by reducing their numbers so that there's more grass for them or whatever. It's about the money to be made by these livestock companies that are grazing their cattle and sheep at our expense on our public lands. Those companies want the wild horses and burros removed as competition for all of that forage. And, you know, they just can't stand that there are animals out there living wild and free on the range and no one's making money off them. And, well, the BLM has figured out a way to make sure that people are making money off them. And it's a very sad situation, you know. And, you know, right, in fact, yesterday here in Oregon, a new roundup began. The BLM only provided a week's notice before they started this operation. They are doing it under the pretext of a drought. 1,900 federally protected wild horses are going to lose their freedom and their families and be chased down by helicopters over the next few weeks. So it's a pretty dire situation, and that's the bad news. That's the bad news. But let me just make sure that I share the good news as well. The good news is that people are waking up. More and more people are finding out about what's going on. More and more people are taking the time to reach out to their members of Congress, to contact the Bureau of Land Management and let them know that that they don't support what's going on. And so that's the good news. The public awareness is really growing, and people are upset about it. And that means that people are more likely and more willing to take action to try and turn things around.
Yes, I hope so, because, Scott, I've seen those videos where the helicopter roundups, and they get these wild horses that are they get traumatized, scared. I mean, this is animal cruelty front lines that I'm seeing,
yeah.
You know, and it's so
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, it's animal abuse. Yeah, every Wednesday, I make a Wild Horse Wednesday video, and so everyone can go to www.animalwellnessaction.org and follow our work. But look for my Wild Horse Wednesday video every Wednesday. And yesterday, my video, I addressed Deb Holland, who is the Secretary of Interior. She is the one with jurisdiction over the Bureau of Land Management. And I addressed her directly, and I said, Madam Secretary, your Bureau of Land Management is committing animal abuse, and it's happening on your watch. And it's absolutely true. I mean, these helicopter contractors that the BLM uses, they are chasing horses for long distances. They're leaving little foals behind. At least 5 baby foals were left behind. That means that they could not keep up with the rest of the herd, and that is a violation of the BLM's own comprehensive animal welfare program. You are supposed to only drive those horses as fast as the slowest and weakest members of the herd can run, and horses got left behind. Horses had their limbs broken. It was just an absolute catastrophe, and in a roundup that happened before this one in Colorado, there was a roundup in Nevada, and this same helicopter contractor was chasing wild horses into barbed wire. In one case, they flew so low that they knocked a mare down. She had a little foal at her side, and that little foal got run over and trampled by the rest of the herd.
No.
I could just go on and on. It's absolutely animal abuse. It's cruelty. And then, of course, these animals, the stallions are losing their families. The stallions, of course, are all going to be castrated and incarcerated for the rest of their lives. And that's the fate for most of these horses, Debbie. Most of these horses that are being rounded up and removed are destined to spend the rest of their lives standing in a barren feedlot. For the rest of their lives, without their family, without their freedom, and it's an absolute catastrophe. And to make matters worse, some of those horses are going to end up being slaughtered for human consumption. That is inevitable. The Bureau of Land Management has a program called the Adoption Incentive Program, where they pay adopters $1,000 per animal to adopt. And what these unscrupulous adopters are doing is they can adopt up to 4 horses or burros, and they get $1,000 a head, and then they throw them in a corral or out in a pasture for a year, and then when that year passes, the BLM transfers title to them, and the first thing they do is take those animals right to the slaughter markets or the kill pens, and they get paid again. So it is inevitable.
Whoa.
And this was a story that was blown open by the New York Times a few weeks ago. And the BLM has promised some reforms, but frankly, the entire wild horse advocacy community is united in telling the BLM that it needs to shut down that adoption incentive program because unscrupulous people, profiteers, people who are greedy and cruel are going to continue to exploit the system and send federally protected wild horses and burros to their death in foreign meat plants.
Mm.
So that's this is so heartbreaking.
I mean, what's going on?
That's the bad news. And like I said, that the bad news is that stuff is happening. The good news is that more and more people are becoming aware. The media is starting to wake up. Like I said, the New York Times ran that story. And so people are aware of it. And I think people are more willing now than ever before to reach out to their members of Congress and tell their members of Congress that it's time to hold the BLM accountable for these terrible abuses and these terrible practices and policies that are just, you know, horrifically cruel. And, you know, here's the thing. The Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act of 1971 gave the BLM management authority, and the act was passed because of overwhelming public pressure when people found out that people were cruelly chasing down wild horses with aircraft and capturing them and then selling them to be made into pet food. The American people were outraged, and that's how Congress passed this law and how President Nixon signed it into law. But the irony is the agency that the Congress gave the authority to manage the animals is now engaged in the very acts of cruelty that the act was meant to stop. And you know, so that's the message here. That's the message, is that our tax dollars are funding a rogue federal agency that is doing the very thing that it was supposed to be stopping. And it sounds almost unreal. It almost sounds too crazy to be true, but it is absolutely true. And that is why we have got to get Congress woken up, you know, so that they can take action.
Yes, and everyone out there, please, you know, spread the word, because this is, I mean, this is animal cruelty front lines, you know, animal cruelty in a first degree. Let's protect them and stay. We are their only hope to carry on. And these horrific stories where they're getting hurt, some of them die, I mean, losing their families. They don't deserve this. No animal does. So please, you know, contact your legislators, you know, keep contacting them, spread the word. You know, social media is the landing strip for all us to come together, all the advocates and activists and animal lovers. And there are so many groups and pages, you know, out there on, you know, on Twitter, on Facebook, Pinancers, LinkedIn. You know, this list goes on. So everyone, let's get rid of this, because BLM is being cruel and heartless, and they're not thinking about how the wild horse and burros feels. They're thinking about that all-American cha-ching, okay, and greed boys. So let's do something. We have to keep it up, because I know, Scott, with the horses, look at Priscilla Presley. She was standing up for Bo Derek. I mean, there is a list of them, you know, and a big shout out to all of them. And the one that was helping the Animal Wellness Action was a Kate.
Yes.
Caitlin.
Catherine Heigl.
Yes.
Catherine Heigl. She's the very famous and talented actress who was on Grey's Anatomy, and she's been in so many movies, and just a fantastic person. And, you know, she lives in Utah. And when she found out that the BLM was targeting Anakie wild horses of western Utah, and this is also like the Sandwash Basin horses of Colorado, the Anakie horses of Utah are, you know, very popular with photographers and tourists. And when she found out that the BLM was targeting that herd, she joined with Animal Wellness Action. We staged a very successful rally on the steps of the Utah Capitol, and she was there. She spoke to the crowd, and you know, she gave the benefit of her stature and her, you know, her amazing presence to the effort to try and save these animals. There are so many great people out there. and the, you know, that are working so hard to try and turn things around. But honestly, what it's going to come down to, Debbie, is it's going to come down to the American taxpayer, because the American taxpayer, you know, that's where the ultimate authority lies, not with the Bureau of Land Management, not with the Secretary of Interior, not with President Biden, but with the American taxpayer. And the American taxpayer has spoken loud and clear. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people have contacted their members of Congress and have contacted the BLM to say, stop these roundups, manage these animals humanely. And, you know, so far, you know, the BLM is still getting its way. But I think that, you know, it feels like, even though as bad as things are right now, it feels like we are reaching a tipping point where so many people are so outraged at what is going on that it feels like, you know, pretty soon Congress is going to wake up and hold this agency accountable for its gross malfeasance and its deliberate cruelty, its animal abuse, and it's pandering to these industries that are just ruining our landscape and want to completely get rid of our wild horses. And, of course, you know, here's the other thing. I mean, the wild horses, you know, that it's a heartbreaking topic. But if you step back, you realize that what is happening with the wild horses is also happening with our wolves, with our grizzlies, with our bison. I mean, the beef industry is single-handedly behind the mass killing of all of these animals and the persecution of all of these animals, everything from wild horses and burros to wolves to grizzlies to bison. The beef industry doesn't want these animals out on our public lands. And, they're very powerful. They are extremely influential. They have very powerful friends in Congress. But the American people also have a voice, and it's just so important that enough people speak up that we can start to achieve a little balance against that power and influence of the beef industry. So, I encourage people, pick up that phone, call 202-224-3121. Ask for your members of Congress, both your United States representative and both members or both of your United States senators, and tell them to get the BLM under control, stop the helicopter roundups, get livestock off our public lands, and manage these animals humanely. And let's give wildlife a fighting chance, because right now the cattle and sheep have a fighting chance, but our wildlife just doesn't.
It is just so disgusting what's going on, isn't it, Scott? I mean, it's like inhumane and taxpayer money. You know, we're all paying for this. This is not approved by me. I mean, you and a bunch of us. We got to get some control here, you know, let the horses, wild horses and burros, they have been around for a very long time, and they should live in peace and freedom just like the wolves. And the bears, I mean, all of them.
Yep.
We all share this earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it. But they have every right to be here, too. You know, it's like giving them the animal rights, not to be, you know, put on the back burner and say, oh, this is not important. Yes, it is important. Because when you see this stuff front lines and you see the videos and the photos and it's disgusting – it's a disgrace to the human race to even allow this to happen. BLM, I hope you're listening in, because this is not right. I mean, we gotta play, you know, by the rules here, and not just keep letting this happen over and over and decade after decade. Because I know that, you know, these wild horses, when they're running freely and they're happy and they're socializing with their families, that's a beautiful picture there. Not being chased by helicopters and chased away from their families and traumatized.
It's horrific. Yeah, it's horrific. And I challenged in my video yesterday, I challenged Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland to have the courage to watch the videos and look at the photos of these wild horse roundups, and because they really tell the story. You know, when you see these little baby foals being left behind, you know, and these horses, you know, running into the fence panels and the traps so hard that they break their necks and they break their legs, and you know, horses that are being run through extreme summer heat for mile after mile after mile. I mean, we're talking about horses that are very young, horses that are very old, horses that are heavily pregnant. And it's just blatantly cruel. And, you know, the perspective of the BLM is obvious. They very much talk about these animals as if they are nothing more than feral livestock, rather than the federally protected animals that they are. And you know, they're taking their cues there from the beef industry, because the cattle ranchers also like to call the wild horses feral livestock. What their objective is to try and diminish the public's love for these animals. They don't want people to care about these animals. They want people to feel good about the roundups and to feel good about no wild horses living on our public land. And they do that by really talking bad about the animals and referring them in derogatory terms. And that's how they treat them. And when you look at the people that are out there conducting these roundups, I mean, they all have their big old cowboy hats and their big fancy belt buckles, and they've got a roundup mentality. You know, you don't treat a horse with respect and kindness. You treat it like you would a cow. You know, you just round it up, you chase it down, and you round it up. And that is not what the law says. The law says these animals are to be managed humanely. That's the whole point. And instead, these wannabe cowboys are out there, you know, and, you know, it's very obvious exactly where their loyalties lie.
And Scott, we got some a caller here on area code 719. You ready to take some calls? Please refrain from any noises in the background, and you're more than welcome to speak. It's the same number every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, everyone. So if you want to log in your contacts, area code 310-982-4270. You'll be in the queue. It's a packed house tonight. Thank you, all you your listeners in tonight. Another great show. Just try to refrain from any noise in the background. TVs, radios, conversations, you're more than welcome. Come on board. We've got a packed house, Scott. This is awesome. Go ahead, area code 719. You're live and on the air.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Hello.
Ray, Mama Cat, how are you? A former guest, Scott. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm doing well. I've spoken to Scott before. You already kind of touched on what I was going to say, these wannabe cowboys are city slickers dressed up like a cowboy. They have absolutely no respect for those horses. I've watched a couple of the roundups from a distance, and the foals are stampeded into the ground, and they're killed, and the ones that aren't, they're chased away, and they wander around looking for their mothers. They're not Most of them aren't old enough to be on their own, and they'll die anyway. And several months ago, we took the grandkids up to the Sandwash Basin, and we got to see a lot of the wild horses up there, and we're going to go up there this weekend and see who's left. But, you know, the Western governor is somebody that we really need to start getting in contact with them, because they are, you know, it's all the governors, and I'm not going to get into the politics of that, but it's the Western governors, and they are pushing these roundups for the cattle rancher. They're picking the cattle rancher over these horses, and like you said, they're stereotyping or trying to call them feral and put them in the category with feral cats, feral pigs, feral dogs, to diminish their meaning and, you know, get people to look at them differently, just like you were saying.
Yeah, and let me just say that Colorado Governor Jared Polis actually opposed the Sandwash Basin Roundup. He issued a letter to the Bureau of Land Management asking that they hold off just for 6 months to give the a chance to have a conversation. And the BLM didn't even give Governor Polis the courtesy of a response. I mean, completely blew him off. Now, contrast that with Governor Spencer Cox of Utah, who requested a meeting with the BLM, and the BLM was right there because they knew that he was 100% in support of the roundup of the Anarchy horses. So, just the utter arrogance of this agency to not even give a governor the courtesy of an acknowledgement, and then Congressman Neguse from Colorado also wrote to the BLM and urged he said postpone the roundup and let's give the public an opportunity to be heard. The BLM didn't even give him the courtesy of a response, and he is the chair of the House Subcommittee on National Parks, Forests, and Public Lands. So he basically holds the purse strings, and you would think that the BLM would treat the guy who holds their purse strings with a little bit more respect, and instead they just completely blew him off. But look, they got their marching orders from the beef industry, and that's who they're listening to. That's who they're taking their cues from. And unfortunately, the American public, the taxpayers, the citizens, the people who love these animals and want to see them protected and want to see them living wild and free out on our public lands are being completely ignored. And that just shows you where our politics are today. And you know what? You know, I remember there was, you know, people were feeling so hopeful that, you know, if we got, you know, Joe Biden enough and then Deb Haaland, you know, who was very, you know, pro-animal when she was a member of Congress, and there was so much hope. It doesn't matter, you guys. This speaks to the power and influence of these industries, like the livestock industry. Look, it was bad for wild horses. It's bad for them now. It was bad for them under Trump. It was bad for them under Obama. And it's just, again, our system is set up to take care of these profit-driven industries and not the American people. And so I would love to say it's a partisan issue. It's not, you know, it's a nonpartisan issue, both the love for animals and the utter disregard for them. It defies political affiliation. It really does.
You know, and I thought having the BLM move out here to Colorado was going to be helpful. You know, that they would get off their butts in Washington and do more than just look at pictures, you know, and actually get involved. But it hasn't made any difference at all. They don't want to be out here. They want to be in Washington anyway. But, you know, I was very hopeful that would make a difference, and it just has not.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a system that's been in place for decades, and, you know, listen, this does not mean, I just want to make sure I'm clear to everyone, this does not mean that we just shrug our shoulders and give up the fight. What this means is we dig in and fight all the harder, because you know what? Yeah, this is very much a David versus Goliath fight. But you know, that's the kind of fight that I'm built for. I love, you know, what made me a successful lawyer was that I had a knack for taking on the case of the underdog, going to court and slugging it out and winning. And that, you know, now I'm doing it, you know, for the wild horses. And I'm sad about what's going on with our horses, but I know that I'm right where I need to be. And I'm certainly not prepared to stand down. In fact, if anything, I'm going to keep ramping up this fight. I'm going to keep taking the fight to the BLM. And I'm just going to take as many advocates as I can.
I appreciate you doing what you're doing, Scott, because it's so much needed, you know, and so glad, you know, that you're not going to give up. And neither of any of us advocates out there, because we're sticking together and we're becoming stronger and stronger, right, Ray? Strength in numbers.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
I mean, the more of us come together and make those phone calls, please, everyone, and call your representatives. If you never contacted them before, it's never too late. You know, take that meaningful time and help. And when you see these victories come through, you know you're not spinning your wheels. I've seen, you know, I can't take credit, but I've seen so many victories come through over the last years, and being a part of it, can't take credit, like I said, but when you're involved and you see it happening, I'm not spinning my wheels, and neither is anybody else. We just can't give up.
Need to go after the purse string guy, the one that holds the congressman that has is in charge of the purse strings. Maybe we need contact
he's there in Colorado. He's been a great friend of the Wild Horses. He spoke up and tried to get the BLM to cancel the roundup of the Anakie horses in Utah, and then he spoke up again for the Sandwash Basin horses. He's been a wonderful leader. I think, you know, everyone needs to make sure and let Congressman Joe Neguse from Colorado know how grateful we all are for his leadership and for his kindness and compassion in speaking up for a humane approach to our wild horses and burros. We need more. We got to get more members of Congress like him to be willing to stand up and speak out. And look, I get it. Our members of Congress are dealing with some huge issues. We've got a pandemic raging. We've got Afghanistan. We've got flooding. We've got drought. We've got all these terrible problems. I get it. But you know what? That doesn't mean that you can just turn your back on issues of compassion and responsible, you know, kind of animals.
Agreed. Totally. Yes. Don't put them on the back burner. You know, we got a lot of issues,
right.
But let's not forget about them. We know all about COVID. We can't worry 24/7 about COVID. You know, we know what to do. It's been going on a year and a half. And, you know, it's on overkill right now. You know, it's like, hey, it could be a 99.7 death rate. But no, it's not. It's a 99.7 survival rate. So we shouldn't be freaking out, because it's like the seasonal flu and the rest of the other stuff. We cannot put all this other stuff on the back burner and just watch everything get worse. You know, it's not
right.
It's not right. It's not justice.
Yeah. Right.
It's justice being ignored. You know,
yeah,
so
it is. It really is. So you know, so the good news is that that people are wanting to help. And one thing that I will add here, a lot of people say, you know, what can I do? How can I have a real impact on this issue, on the issue of wild horses and burros? And you know what I tell them? Write a letter to your state's largest newspaper, and the message is very, very simple. I am an American taxpayer. I support the right of wild horses and burros to live on our public lands, and I oppose the BLM's practice of rounding them up and removing them to make way for livestock. That's your message. It's super easy. And if all you do is write a letter to the editor of your local paper saying that I'm an American taxpayer, I support wild horses and burros on public lands, and I oppose helicopter roundups for the sake of livestock, that message is going to resonate with Congress, because they see the American taxpayer taking the time to speak out, and it causes them to stop and take notice. So I really encourage all your listeners, if you are so inclined, if you want to have an impact, write that message, write that letter to the editor. I'm an American taxpayer. I support the right of wild horses and burros to live on our public lands, and I oppose helicopter roundups for the sake of commercial livestock. That's your message. And the more letters like that Congress sees in the newspapers, the more they're going to be like, dang, people are mad. You know, we better take a look at this. You know, so that's one really good way. In addition to calling your members of Congress, that is one really good way to have an impact.
Yes, I mean that's.
Them,
please, everyone, take that meaningful time and do it.
See them
because if you're a taxpayer and you're and this is going towards these horrific helicopter roundups for the wild horses and everything. I mean, we got to do something. We need it stopped and banned. I mean, horse slaughter is banned in the United States, but it contradicts itself by saying, okay, you can ship it to Canada, Mexico, and other countries. You know, it's okay.
Right.
And that's not right.
Well,
that's contradicting itself. Like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's another thing is that I would urge all of your listeners to reach out to their members of Congress and urge them to support H.R. 3355, the Save America's Forgotten Equines Act or the SAFE Act. That will finally bring an end to the slaughter of American horses for human consumption in foreign meat plants. And we need that because until we get a federal ban in place, every American horse, both wild and domestic, is going to be at risk. Those kill buyers, they get their orders from foreign meat companies, and they are going to go out there and they are going to fill those orders one way or another, and they're going to fill them with, you know, retired racehorses, you know, former show horses, children's ponies, whatever it takes. And these kill buyers are ruthless. They will lie, cheat, and steal to fill those orders. And so until we get a federal law in place that bans that, every American horse is going to be at risk. And I would notice that, or I would point out that in California, after California passed the law that said you can't slaughter horses for human consumption, horse theft dropped by a third. And why is that? Because a lot of kill buyers still steal horses, steal them in order to fill those orders. So we need to pass the SAFE Act, H.R. 3355. Again, the number for Congress, 202-224-3121. Call your members of Congress. Tell them you want the helicopter roundups to stop and to please support the SAFE Act.
Yes, please, everyone. And Mama Cat and Ray Bittner, you know, thanks for all you do, too. Scott, she's a former guest on there. She helps out stray cats, has 125 in colonies that she helps out. All lives matter, including all the animals, you know. So we got to look at it like that. And these horses' lives, wild horses, you know, Mustangs, they are awesome. They're living comfortably. They don't bother nobody. They're innocent. They should live in freedom. I love seeing those photos when they're running and having fun and living in peace and comfort. I love that. I mean, it's so heartwarming to see that. You know, all animals should live like that.
And they help build this nation. I mean, think about the horses and the burros, everything that they've hauled for us over the years. And now because there's vehicles, we just throw them away. They don't even matter anymore. And it's just sickening. You know, it just drives me crazy how badly they're being treated.
I agree with that 100%. I think that no country in the world has the kind of relationship with the horse that we have. You know, other countries eat horses, not the United States. Why don't we eat horses? Because they were our partner in building this nation. And we have, I mean, they are so important to American culture. Just think about it. We have sports teams named after horses. We have the Denver Broncos. We have the Indianapolis Colts. You know, we have high school teams called the Mustangs. You know, we have movies about horses. We have books about horses. We have TV shows about horses. There is something about the horse that is so special to the American imagination. And, you know, that is why we don't eat our horses. That is why people get so upset when we find out that they are being mistreated. And, you know, and so, yes, absolutely. What you just said, these horses that are living on our public lands are descended from the very animals that helped us build this nation. And they absolutely do deserve a place out there. And they do deserve to be treated with respect. And not treated like, you know, some feral cow that's been, you know, that's been turned out, but treated like the icons that they are, that are worthy and deserving of protection under the law.
Yeah,
exactly.
And even the Mustang cars, Scott, look at all the Mustangs, how long they've been around. Ford named their cars after the Mustang cars, and they're still popular. I have one, and they're beautiful.
I do, too.
I've had Mustang cars, different ones, since 2001. Even my son has, the apple don't fall far from the tree. And then, so much is after them, and, they're awesome, and they deserve it. All animal deserves respect and dignity, live comfortably, so we're not going to give up. That's for sure. Relentless, right, Ray? We are relentless. And we're not going to go away. It's not going to be that easy. If we go away, we automatically lose. That is not happening. So animal advocates out there, flood the phone lines to your state reps and senators, please. Let's make some noise. The louder you bark, the more you're heard. Okay.
So I want to
go after the furry industry.
No, I'm sorry. Scott, go ahead.
Yes, sir. What I was going to say is if people want to follow my work, again, you can go to animalwellnessaction.org. You can also follow me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm not as active as I should be on Twitter, but I'm very active on Facebook. Scott Beckstead, the last name is Beckstead, and I encourage people to follow me. And I am posting all day, every day about all sorts of animal welfare issues, especially the horse issues. But it's a really good way to keep track of the issues that are important. And so I would encourage people, get engaged, follow the work of myself and other advocates that are out there, fighting these fights all day, every day, and by all means, take action. Make those calls to your U.S. representative and both of your United States senators. Write that letter to the editor. Tell the readers that you're an American taxpayer and that you support wild horses on public lands and that you oppose the helicopter roundups for the commercial livestock. That message, that is the message that's going to win the day. You don't have to go into a whole lot of detail. It's best if you don't. Keep it short, sweet, and to the point. That is what Congress will sit up and take notice of.
Yes. In order to see change, we got to take action, everybody. No questions asked. If we stand idle, the problems only get worse. So you have a choice, which you prefer, take action or not take action. So let's see some positive changes for the wild horses and burros. Right, Scott? And we're down to two minutes here. And Ray, thank you so much. Mama Cat, thank you so much for calling in and being a big part of Voices Caring for Animals. And Scott, it was great having you on again this evening. I knew you would be rocking the airwaves, my friend, and can't wait to have you back on. We're going to get you on sooner this time. 3 years is too long, so I'll be in contact with you, okay? And we're going to be rocking airwaves for the animals again.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, let me know. I'm happy to be back anytime.
Yes, and next week, everyone, I hope you join in. We've got another show on wild horses. Anthony Marr is going to be coming back. He's the founder of Marr Plan for Wild Horses, and he's the founder at Hill Our Planet Earth. Okay, so he's going to be joining back with us. He's going to talk about what's going on and update with him. And 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Every Thursday, you can listen by internet or you can listen by phone, area code 310-982-4270. Press 1, you'll be in the queue. And, all shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to the PPJ Gazette on the right-hand corner and search Voices Caring for Animals, or you can put my name, Debbie Dahmer, or you can put in Animal Advocates Radio, and they should pop up. Press what show you want to listen to. Wait a minute to download, and we'll play. Wait a half hour after this show this evening, and it'll be ready to play back. But Scott, can't wait to have you back. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in this evening. And hope everyone come back next week. Keep spreading the word out there because it's so important that we help these animals. Good night, everyone. May have a great and peaceful evening. And may God bless you all. Paul in hand, united we stand. Against all animal cruelty across the land.
Across the land.
That's it. Thank you, everyone. And hope you're tuning with us.
Bye,
Dad. Thank you, Scott. Big hugs to both of you.